7:03, time to help fund scholarships for U.S. veterans. What could be better than that? Donate to the Help a Hero program at a Sport Clips near you. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to have Zane Beatles of the 49ers, Mike Florio at 8 a.m. He's going to talk to us about all kinds of things footballing. I believe it was Fro Football Talk.
Yeah.
I went a whole hour without doing it. I was having trouble mixing up words this morning more than usual. Pro Football Talk, that's the first place I saw the Joe Staley news. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that as well.
First place I saw the Torrey Smith news.
There you go. A lot of stuff Niners-centric, and obviously we'll get Raider questions in there as well as the rest of the league going on. And also, we will be giving away an Apple TV and qualify you.
That is so awesome.
For a 60-inch 4K television.
I wish we could enter these things.
You know, I do too. Want to remind you, Jersey Mike's grand opening Wednesday at noon to 1 Wada Avenue, Arden Town Center. Come by to win movie passes to see Marvel's Doctor Strange. For more info, visit khtk.com. The Sacramento Kings' final roster is set with Jordan Farmar gone, Isaiah Cousins gone, and Lamar Patterson gone. Here you go. Aaron Aflalo, Matt Barnes, Omri Caspi, Willie Cauley-Stein, Darren Collison out 8 games, DeMarcus Cousins, Rudy Gay, Costa Koufos, Scal Labissiere, Ty Lawson, Ben McLemore, Yorgos Papiyannis, whatever, Malachi Richardson, Garrett Temple, and Anthony Tolliver. That fills out your roster. We mentioned that about Darren Collison being out for 8 games. I would imagine at least one, if not a couple, of those rookies are going to be spending some D-League time at some point. And the lowest paid player on the team at $980,000, $431,000 on top of that $980,000, by the way. Don't forget, Ty Lawson. Ty Lawson makes the team, and it's one of those things where I'm rooting for him. I am sincerely rooting for the guy. I hope that this is not only good for him to do well, it's good for the team to do well. And I think this is a feather in the cap of Dave Yeager and Vlade Divac if he does well. I just, dang it, I hope that they don't look back on this decision in a couple weeks and go, yeah, we probably should not have done that. They're taking a big chance on him. And I hope he knows that, and I hope he respects that, and I hope that reflects in every decision that he makes from here on out.
They're taking a big chance because of the last like year and a half that he's had off the floor.
Yes.
So, I mean, in terms of taking a chance with him on the court, he's one of those guys that he was a phenomenal player in Denver.
It was awesome.
And then he went to Houston and it was just not a good fit alongside James Harden, which in all fairness, it's hard to fit guys next to James Harden that are guards. I mean, you can throw in some big guys in there that can clean up the boards and get you some dunks here and there, but James Harden is the only guy, right?
Right.
Table for one.
That's all that matters.
They got to win games. I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah.
Like, if they don't win games, it doesn't matter if Ty Lawson's on his best behavior. It doesn't matter if we don't hear from him. That experiment
right.
becomes a failure. They have to win to justify keeping this guy on the roster.
You think so?
Yes.
You think that if they
start, as long as he stays out of trouble, you don't think that...
I think it's not worth whether he gets in trouble or not.
They're not paying him a lot of money. It's not like they're, you know, Rondo last year where they paid him $9 million.
You're talking about, okay, I was about to just disagree with the hell out of you there, but hold on. You're talking about basically if they start out 3-10, 5, whatever, you're saying the message sent as far as culture goes and signing him was not worth it because it didn't translate to wins. So
didn't
why
change.
Use culture points?
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that.
Okay,
I understand.
You don't change
right.
anything, and I think you've already – I mean, who knows? Maybe the guys in the locker room didn't see anything about the message you sent by keeping him on the roster. I don't know. Maybe we look too far into that. Maybe I look too far into it as a media person, but – I just if they're not winning games, the decision to bring in Ty Lawson, period, was a failure because you've already had one problem with him.
The year before last, Ty Lawson averaged 17.5 points. He had 1.5 steals, 8.8 assists to go with 3.5 boards, shooting 80% from the line and 43% from the field. That was in 62 games. In his career, he's played 80 games one time. That was his second year. He has played, last year he played 66 games between Houston and Indiana, 75, 62, 73, 61, and then 80 the previous year. So you're talking about a guy who is at most seen 80, and averages probably somewhere in the high 60s for his career. So a very interesting situation for him. And on top of that, he's 28. He's not 31, but he has to do it now. If Ty Lawson plays his cards right, if Ty Lawson is able to shine on this team, and let's be honest, the other end of that coin is that Ty Lawson kicks ass and Darren Collison finds himself coming back into a situation where he's on the outside looking into the starting lineup. Ty Lawson comes in, and I highly doubt that, Katie, but that's just the other side of the coin here. And Ty Lawson is able to put together anything like he did 2, 3, 4 years ago. Ty Lawson's going to make a lot of money this summer. A lot of money this summer. He may not get a 4-year, $80 million deal.
I don't know that they're – he might – I mean, Dave, I see what you're saying. He might. But I still think, given his history, that even if he comes out and there are no problems with him off the court in the season with the Kings – I still don't think that that is enough time for an organization to make a long-term commitment to
him. I think $30 to $40 million is on the table for him. That's what I would say. I think 3 years between $30 and $40 million at tops, somewhere somebody is going to have room.
It worked for Rondo, right?
It absolutely worked for Rondo.
Yeah, but he
didn't
have the issues off the court. I mean, yes.
He got kicked off a playoff team because nobody liked him.
He did call out a gay guy and make him come out of the closet on the court. I mean, I see what you're saying. He didn't have
the
alcohol
issues. It's not even
issues.
In the same the legality of it, you know, like the legal problems.
Sure.
It's not even in the same, you know, conversation.
I guess the counter to that is you can't really go to rehab for being an ass.
You can change your demeanor and the way that you react to situations on your team, how you treat your coaches, your teammates, and the things that you say to officials, but legal problems.
The Kings gave Rajon Rondo a 1-year deal for way more money than anybody else was going to give to him, and he earned a bigger contract.
He did, yeah.
So, I mean, I guess, like, if Ty Lawson, he can replicate that 17 points a game for all I care. What I don't want to see is the same thing as last year where, well, gosh, the team still stinks, but what a reclamation project in Ty Lawson. Right, we went through that with Rajon Rondo. Hey, this guy's actually pretty good. We didn't expect that. Well, guess what? The team still wasn't even sniffing the playoffs. So, I mean, I don't know. What difference does it make?
It wasn't just because of Rajon Rondo, though.
No, it wasn't. But it doesn't make any difference to me if these guys reclaim their career and get big contracts somewhere else. My point is just that they have to win games. They got to win games.
Right.
And in order to justify having signed Ty Lawson, period. You could say that for half a dozen other guys on their roster, but it all comes back to winning.
I think Kings fans need to seriously temper any expectations they have for this team this season. Dave Yeager himself said this is a year and a half, whatever that quote was, process.
Yeah, he said this is not going to be a 50-win team.
No, it's not. I don't think this is going to be a 40-win team. I'd be very surprised, not shocked, if this was a 35-win team. And as far as playoffs go, just look at the teams in the Western Conference.
The West is a little bit different this year, though. It's not the same Western Conference that we saw heading into last season, which, by the way, ended up being a disappointment.
I can name.
There's some room for maneuverability in the West.
I can name with a fair amount of certainty, I would say, at least 10 teams that I'm pretty damn confident will have better records than the Kings this year in the Western Conference. And there's only 8 playoff spots. So for me, after that, it's pointless. We'll obviously get into a ton of Kings talk tomorrow for you, where we do our full season preview and predictions. And then don't forget, Thursday, we'll be broadcasting live from the Golden 1 Center, rain or shine. And we will, amongst other things, have a way for you to get into the building that evening. We'll break, come back. 4 down territory next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
Denver Broncos beat the Houston Texans last night. Are they still the class of the NFC West?
Yeah, I think so. I do.
Even though shouldn't that be AFC West?
What did it say?
NFC West.
I wrote that. That's on me.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I'll take
way
the blame
go.
There. Yeah, I wrote that. Matt was just Ron Burgundy-ing there. The AFC West, yes, they are the class of the AFC West. I think so. And that's no offense to the Raiders, but I need a little more distance out of the Raiders. I'm aware Trevor Siemian is the Denver Broncos quarterback, but teams have won championships. In fact, one did last year with quarterbacks that perform subpar or average or just game managers. The Raiders have the better offense, but don't forget Denver has some pretty damn good weapons and they have the best defense in the league, not named Minnesota. I say Denver's at the top.
That game last night was a battle of two crap quarterbacks. And it was painful to see that. However, when you have a defense like Denver, you can get away with having a subpar quarterback in my mind. I don't know that you can have that success in the playoffs, so I can't be sure. I can say that the Raiders' big question mark is their defense, and I'll take defense over offense any day.
Who's going to be favored when these two teams play each other?
Denver.
Yeah, that's the end of the story.
That's a pretty good answer right there.
All right, Nathan.
I mean, Dave took a lot of the good ones.
Yeah.
<is all.
laughs> That was the last touchdown that Arian Foster scored, which happened to come against his current team. Well, was his current team, the Miami Dolphins, which was all the way back in October of last season.
Mm. Wow.
But his career is over. He's abruptly retired. How will you remember Mr. Foster?
Well, for me, his best season was in 2010, and I was just a casual observer of the NFL. So I don't know that I have a best memory other than the fact that I knew his name, which means he was a hell of a player when I was just casually watching games here and there.
Isn't that about it? Yeah. Well, I mean, he was kind of whatever. Though I think of bubblegum hamstrings. That's it. Glad I never drafted him on my fantasy team.
I think of Arian Foster, and I think of a guy that seized an opportunity in Houston at one point, and I feel a little bit sad for his career, because when he was going in the years that he was healthy, Arian Foster was one of the best running backs in the entire league, and he was a two-way threat. The guy could catch the ball. Guy could catch the ball, and the guy could run the ball as well. You're talking about a dude who at one point had 66, 53, and 40 catches in three consecutive years, and those were also years where he averaged about 1,500 yards. Here's the thing about Arian Foster, though. He's one of my top 10 current athletes, I guess not anymore because he retired, who's a great Twitter follow. Arian Foster is all kind of intelligent as hell, and he mixes it up quite a bit on any
subject. He's also
subject.
A grifter. He tried to sell stock in himself.
Yeah, there's that too. Was that Arian Foster?
Yeah.
Was that Arian?
Uh-huh.
There was a couple other guys in there too that did that.
Yeah.
I love when you go to your falsetto.
Because I remember, I know what Nate's talking about. I forgot it was Arian Foster. So I'm pretty sure you'll see Arian Foster, my bet is, on an NFL studio booth here very, very soon. Let me throw one more out there, too, so you understand that context from Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick and Odell Beckham Jr. should be friends.
Mm.
Geno Smith out with an ACL. Fitzpatrick is back in. Is this situation awkward at all?
Hell, one ACL. I heard he's got two of them.
Hey!
Jeez.
Yeah, well, Ryan Fitzpatrick... Hey. Ryan Fitzpatrick made it awkward. There's plenty of ways to say, hey, it sucks to lose your job without throwing your coach and your GM and all your teammates under the bus and having a pity party for yourself in front of God and everybody. Yeah, this is embarrassing. But the best part is Todd Bowles said, he's mad, is he? Well, if that's what gets rid of the turnovers, I'm all for him being pissed off.
Todd Bowles is just fine if Fitz is a little pissy. Is it a little bit awkward? Yeah, but what's even more awkward is getting your ass beat on the football field all season long. They're coming off a victory. And by the way, those Fitzpatrick comments came, after a victory, which makes it even worse. That being said, everyone will get together and hug because Geno Smith smashed his ACL. By the way, Joe Namath tweeting out, hey, how is it that Geno Smith is quote-unquote hurt, but he's standing on the sidelines the whole game? How bad could the injury be?
Makes you think.
Makes you think a little, Joe. You should understand a few things about hurt knees.
Geno Smith should... Geno Smith probably has better career stats than Joe Namath.
He probably does.
I think it is awkward in a sense, because the awkward part to me is that he loses his starting job to Geno Smith, and Geno Smith comes in and immediately gets injured. And I saw Fitzpatrick talking to Carson Palmer at the end of that game in week 6 when they got obliterated by the Cardinals, and you could tell in that moment that there was a discussion going on about what was happening with that team. And it was like Carson Palmer trying to get him to keep his head up. I mean, it's not easy for him. Yes, Nate, I do agree to a certain extent. He's being a little bit of a whiny baby.
A little bit.
That was Bruce Arians after the Sunday night football matchup, which had plenty of missed field goals in it. But he said that Chandler Catanzaro has his full support. Do you believe him?
Maybe the only time in four down territory history we're going to have an Arians sandwich there with Arian Foster and Bruce Arians. Do I believe him? No, I don't. I don't believe him. I believe that's what he has to say. I believe that he can't come out and say, no, I have no belief in him whatsoever, but there's nobody on the market, and if he misses one more, I'm cutting him. He was harsh on him after that Sunday night game, and he should have been. Now he comes out, he gives him a little bit of a pat, but I think Chandler Catanzaro, who is next to last or last, I believe, in field goal percentage, Yeah, I think he's on his last legs. He better get his act together or he's going to be on the couch very soon.
I don't believe him for 1 minute. I don't believe him for one minute.
About 2 minutes. 30 seconds.
Bruce Arians does not pull any punches.
No.
He lets you know exactly what he thinks. Now, granted, I think he's going to say certain things to the media. He made his point by, hey, this make it. It's not high school, baby. But there's no doubt in my mind that he let Chandler know exactly how he feels about him.
Yeah, I think he's got his full support, though, just so long as he makes his field goal.
Right.
I mean, that's it. Like, he's support the guy as
simple,
long as he does
right?
his job.
We'll take
by
a
the
break.
Way,
yes.
Geno Smith has a higher career quarterback rating than Joe Namath.
It's not surprising.
And a lower interception percentage.
Oh. Joe Namath, a career made off of one Super Bowl and a mink coat. Mm. I mean, really, honestly, he's a legend because of that. That's the personality. We'll take a break. And there's a bunch of 60-year-old men right now that are... We'll take a break. We'll come back. The NBA season is upon us. We got all kinds of preview coming up next. A ton of questions for you. And you can ask us a ton of questions as well. The NBA is here. Thank God. Sports 1140 KHDK. There's the original Italian Jersey Shore's favorite or Jersey Mike's famous Philly cheesesteak. Their subs are served Mike's way, made fresh, cold, or grilled hot. Check out the grand opening of their new location. October 26th, KHDK will be there. Watt Avenue. In the Arden Town Center. Speaking of Let's Hear It for the Boy, which is apparently in the rotation now.
Yeah, 2 days in a row. Can we get something else from that soundtrack? It's one
what,
of the great Footloose? Soundtracks.
I mean, what other, trying to think of other songs?
The other great song yeah. from Footloose.
Actually, Footloose.
Yeah, that's what we just said. Footloose.
There's a bunch of other songs.
Like what?
Let's
Don't look,
look
it up.
I got to. It's
a great soundtrack.
It's old. Footloose.
Okay, you got Almost Paradise
yeah.
with Ann Wilson. Holding Out for a Hero, Bonnie
yeah,
Tyler.
That's a great song.
Dancing in the Sheets.
Yeah.
I'm Free by Kenny Loggins. The Girl
Who
Gets
Around.
Who
doesn't like Kenny Loggins, i.e. Nate Goodyear.
Sammy Hagar. And I'm going to go ahead and, yeah, I'm going to give the point to Katie there.
Yours right. came up. My computer is still searching. It's still trying
know.
To connect. So
that's fine. Well, you're
good
connecting.
On you.
I'm going to move on here. NBA preview here. Before we do that, though, quick announcements.
Yeah.
Paige Van Zandt will be in studio tomorrow at 8:30.
Oh, man.
Hey,
no. Oh, you're going to be gone?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll be able to talk to her from
to
Phoenix.
I wanted to meet her.
Well, you.
I want to meet her so I can stand next to her and see.
You can throw her over your shoulder.
How where I
depressing
stack up.
It would be when she kicks your ass. Right.
You can put her in your pocket.
I'm not trying
I'm
to fight her.
I'm taking you against a lot of women, Katie, but not the professional fighter. Sorry,
I never know.
It's probably smart.
It'd be fun.
I do have a reach.
Yeah,
that kind of.
I mean,
and a vicious temper.
I know you probably have, but
yeah.
didn't we have Paige on the previous? I feel like we met her before.
I can't remember. I can't remember if she's come in before or not. By the way, she's
I might be confusing her with a comedian.
She's 5'4", 115.
Oh,
no, I remember her.
Good
she
lord.
She comes up to your knee.
I'm like 6'3", 175.
She will. She'll be in studio tomorrow. Also, as soon as he returns from Mexico, it's always great when somebody you know really, really well decides to announce his retirement on another radio program. Yeah. That was nice.
Who's that?
Uriah Faber's final
what?
Fight will be. This
right.
December at the...
it won't be his final fight because we're going to fight.
Golden One Center. Yeah, exactly.
We're going to
exactly.
fight.
Exactly. Can you believe that? He goes on Ariel Helwani's show.
Helwani
show.
As long
yeah.
as not a local show.
Well, that makes it better.
It does.
I'm not going to lie, though. Still a little narcissistic and selfish of me.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
fine. I mean, I admit that. I mean, come on. When I retire, I'll go on Uriah's show.
Is he going to be our special correspondent now for, like, you know, things that... Fights that break out at random events.
No,
in the
now
city.
That he's not fighting anymore, we'll probably never talk to him again. But you know, I'm joking. By the way, we'll have him in for things. But it sucks. Everybody took me really seriously right there. Uriah's gonna
have him in for things.
He's gonna have a fine career outside of outside.
Dude,
the sport.
He's a businessman. I mean, his property allotment that he's compiled over the years. Anyway,
well,
man.
Now it comes down to the question: is Uriah Faber a UFC Hall of Famer? And there's a really
that
good,
exists.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
UFC Hall. I didn't
it
know
does. The UFC Hall of Fame exists.
I mean,
who's
one
in
would
it?
Assume
it's a real thing and everything. Let's see. Randy Couture is in it. Chuck Liddell is in it.
Okay.
Stephen Bonner and Forrest Griffin are both in it for they're not obviously from their careers.
I mean, because I'm saying this less from the like it's that big, more of Like, I didn't realize
it's not been along
that,
around
right,
that long.
That there were that many people, like Randy Couture and Chuck Liddell. I get that. The other two guys I haven't heard of, you probably got to be
Boys
a little
Gracie,
bit more.
Ken Shamrock, okay. Dan Severn,
oh,
Mark
Ken
Coleman.
Shamrock.
Yes.
That's a Shasta College product right
what?
There.
What? Matt get Hughes. Out of town.
Seriously.
Tito Ortiz. So, yeah, there's you know, it's growing. And there's others
Ken
in there.
Ken Shamrock.
So, anyways, his final fight he has announced will be at the Golden One Center.
It's kind of the way to go out. Are you shocked?
No, I'm not.
I was kind of anticipating
I'm not.
That myself.
Honestly, I've been dealing with for years, as a lot of Faber fans have with, you know, when he lost to Jose Aldo, it was, oh, he should retire. They wrote that in the B, and people were just dumb and didn't get it. When I saw him down in L.A. fight Dominic Cruz, that's the first time where I thought, you know, it might be we're getting close. He just wasn't.
Talk about football players that retire in their, you know, early 30s. We just talked about Arian Foster.
Yeah.
The career span of a UFC fighter. Holy crap.
Yeah. He's been around a long time. I mean, he's in his mid 30s now. So it's and he you can just tell there's a little bit of a step lost. Just enough to where it makes a difference.
You can't do it forever.
No.
And
no.
Why would you want to?
Not when you're, well, because he's making, you know, $300,000 a fight. So it's tough to give that up.
But that's the thing, though, is, and this is kind of one of the things with all athletes, at what point do you think about your long-term kind of health?
And that's what he did. And then I ended up, and then at my workout, I was working out with his manager, Mike Roberts. Mm-hmm. And so I immediately slapped him and was like, well, hey, thanks for the heads up. Appreciate that. And he said, yeah, we didn't know. He just kind of, they talked about it, and I guess you're right, just kind of, it was a spur of the moment thing for him. So he was on the show, he decided to announce it. Who knows? It's not like we've never seen retired fighters come back.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be the case with him. The NBA season is upon us. It will start out with Cleveland and New York and move on to Portland and Utah. And then the game of the evening, at least name-wise, the Golden State Warriors host the San Antonio Spurs. Spurs will get they'll play tonight. They'll get tomorrow off, and then they come to Golden One Center to open up against the Sacramento Kings, and what we expect will be a very upset San Antonio Spurs team. So the basketball season is upon us. I have a few questions for you guys if you're ready.
Okay.
I wrote these down in crayon and everything.
And I did not look at a single one of those.
Good.
So
I'm glad. Would you turn
fun.
Your paper over, because that'd
sure.
actually be more fun?
Yeah.
Would you be inclined to take the Golden State Warriors or the field? We've asked this before. Now we're the day before the, or the day of the season.
Barring all injuries, I would take the Warriors.
Give me the field.
The field?
Yep, because I would have said the Warriors last year. I don't care if they're better. They blew a 3-1 lead.
You're just still caught up on that.
So I'm taking the field, man.
They blew a 3-1 lead.
Injuries might have played a little bit into that, and then the antics of one stupid player that can't stop kneeing people in the junk.
They blew a 3-1 lead. They signed Kevin Durant, and Draymond Green played on the Olympic team in the offseason. It's been a very interesting offseason for the Warriors.
I'm interested to see, because they really, in order to sign Durant and get that, you know, land that big name free agent, one of the best things about that team for the last several years has been their bench, and they had to let some of their bench go to have that. So I'm curious to see how deep they are in their bench, and because that's gonna matter, because injuries will play a toll throughout the season, whether they're long term or short term. It matters
if they lose somebody up front, if they lose a major starting, you know, a Curry, a Thompson, a Durant, they're going to be a little bit in trouble. They lost Bogut. They lost Harrison Barnes. You could look at losing Harrison Barnes perhaps as a positive, depending on how you look at it. But they're rolling out Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, and a guy that led DeMarcus Cousins in all-star voting for much of last year, Zaza Pachulia. The bench, they still have Sean Livingston to back up Curry. You've got Ian Clark, Andre Iguodala, who's about as good a sixth man as there is in the league, JaVale McGee, David West.
Yes, JaVale McGee.
I'm sorry, I have to laugh at that every single time.
I don't know. I'm with Katie. If this team doesn't get injured, if their starters play an average of 72 games or more this season, I think they're just absolutely going to run away with the whole league. And the field includes the Cleveland Cavaliers, so let me adjust it. Would you take the Warriors, the Cavs, or the field? Does that change your answer, Nate?
Yes.
Okay. So you're saying basically, in your mind, the only team that would beat the Warriors this year would be the Cavs?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, barring, you know, we're not factoring in giant injuries. I completely agree. So then the question is, will we have, for the first time in NBA history, a third straight finals featuring the same exact participants?
likely.
Twirl Bach. I mean, it is likely, but that's where, like, I mean, yay, no injuries, whatever. It's going to happen. Something's going to be weird. Three straight times in a row, that's an anomaly. To me, it doesn't even really matter what the rosters look like. It just, I would be betting against that.
I said it last year, I really think that Detroit is a team that is quickly rising. And I thought that they would do a much better job.
Detroit. Okay, gotcha.
A much better job against the Cavs in the playoffs than they did last season. I mean, they dominated them in the regular season. That's what the kind of the beauty of the playoffs is when you're facing the same team for a seven-game series, what you're able to do in terms of game adjustment and scouting. But I think that Detroit might be one to watch in the East.
Take the Cavs and the Warriors. Let me get to this first, by the way. And 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, if you've got questions or anything on the NBA season opening up today. Do you equate the Warriors adding Kevin Durant? Now, remember, it took the Cavs a while to figure their lives out. It took the Miami Heat when they made their super team. It took them a year to figure things out. The Lakers were the last, you know, another team people thought was a super team when they added Steve Nash and Dwight Howard. And that was a big giant toilet fire. Do you equate the Warriors adding Kevin Durant and getting Bogut and Harrison Barnes out of there? Do you equate a little bit of that with what Miami and Cleveland had to go through, or do you think Durant rolls in and it's fairly seamless?
I think that that team is so good, and it's just one piece. I'm not going to say it's going to be completely seamless, but I don't think the adjustment is going to take that long.
Yeah, I see it being easier than it was with the Heat because Kevin Durant seems like – I don't want to say he seems like he's more of a team player, but yeah. I guess in that sense he does, where it kind of feels like he would look at what Harrison Barnes did and be like, okay, I can do that for 40 minutes and make my shots and shoot a couple more times. You know what I mean? Like, now there's one less decision for Steve Kerr to be. You don't have to work a guy in off your bench. You can get 40 minutes a night out of that guy that's starting at the three or the four, where the heck you want to put Kevin Durant, and he's going to give you all of that production, not just Harrison Barnes with some other fool combined and a lot of missed shots.
Right. Is it as simple then, guys, as this, that we get paid to talk about sports and the prime sport on this station because the Kings is the NBA? Nothing has been played yet, so of course there's that wonder and excitement. But when it comes down to it, is it as simple as a 73-win team added arguably the second-best player in the NBA in the offseason? And it's game over. Barring injury, it's just men amongst boys, including the Cavaliers.
I just, you know, guys can take a downturn. I just don't think any of the guys on that roster are, there's a possibility that they're going to take a step back. Steph Curry has gotten better every single year. It's ridiculous.
Great point. They're all in their prime.
Yes.
All their major players are right smack in the middle of their prime. Mm. It's kind of sad because really we should be going into the season. And again, you never know what's going to happen. You always have to put that asterisk. But we should be going into the season going, well, it's a fight for second. It's really a fight for second because you took a 73-win team again and you added Kevin effing Durant. So, yay, let's play for other things because the championship is off the table. The title is off the table.
Said that last year. We said that last year before the season. We said that last year going into the playoffs.
However,
they won 73 games.
The difference is that you've added Kevin Durant. I mean, the way that Golden State performed two seasons ago.
I mean, there is only one ball, man. But Nate, I hope you're onto something. I really do, because I'm going into this season.
I'm just done giving the championship away before the season starts.
Sure.
Because it was the Warriors all year. It was the Warriors going through the playoffs. It was the Warriors when they were up 3-1.
I'm not giving it away. I'm answering the question way that we're supposed to.
And when we're doing the whole, like, hey, barring injuries, whatever, that happened once. That happened once, and it happened during their first title run. Injuries happen. They're going to happen. And with that, I think it's just as equal.
The thing about the first title that they won. They were one of the few teams that really didn't face any kind of injury issues.
So
they faced it
on
last
that happening
year.
Again?
I mean, that's a big thing with them. They've been fairly lucky injury-wise. You know, Draymond had his issues last year, but
Steph hurt his knee at the beginning of the playoffs. He missed an entire round?
That was the first time they really got bit in almost 2 years.
Well, and Bogut got hurt in the finals, and that was critical.
Do you think, and remember, the year before that, remember, you had Kyrie Irving out in England. That was over with, and the Cavs can point to that. Let me ask you this, and this is a fun what if. You think if last year year's version of the Cavs and Warriors played 10 series, who do you think wins more? If they played
probably
that,
the Warriors.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think the Warriors were, you know, you can't say that because they lost, but I think you go back and you play that series 10 times. I'm thinking the Warriors win 7 of them. Yeah. And then they added freaking Durant.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't you say that about, I don't know, game 5? How many times did you have to play game 5, game 6, game 7?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they lose 3 games in a row?
Yeah. Yeah. Patrick, you're on the drive.
My 3 favorite.
Hi, Patrick.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. The NBA's back. I'm excited, man. Finally, man. Sacramento Kings basketball starts on, what, tomorrow? And then Thursday, the big day. So, man, oh, man. This is a question mark kind of a team. But you know what? I think this team's going to be better than everybody's saying because, you know, Coach and Jave Yeager and his coaching staff and the confidence they say in all their interviews and stuff. It seems different to me this year than it has in past years. And I'm excited, Dave, everybody. I'm as a Kings fan to see this team, how they're going to perform, because I kind of like the fact we're under the radar and everybody's saying we're going to be bad. So let them keep saying that so we can actually prove everybody wrong. So if everybody stays healthy, Sacramento can get back on this thing, man.
I understand your optimism, Patrick. I think my big question...
No, I'm going to kill it.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to kill it. I understand the optimism because there's been some changes, and I think they're positive changes. My only concerns are it's a very tough schedule to start out with. You're facing a little bit of adversity in the fact that Darren Collison, who I think this team is just leaps and bounds better when he is on the court, regardless of who he's on the court with, he's going to be out for the first 8 games. My worry is for a franchise that has struggled to get wins for years now, when you start out a season and you start losing and the schedule is working against you and you're losing games, the mentality is my biggest fear with this team. You have to have the mentality that you can handle that and still push on and be better and not be like, oh, well, here we go again. And you fall back in and you revert back to the same old, you know, stuff that you've been going through for years in the past. That's my main concern.
Yeah, they have exactly one star player. That's not a recipe for a contender.
My concern is that George Karl was a lot better of a coach than we think he was. My concern is that...
Really?
My concern is that DeMarcus Cousins made 73 pointers last year, and the most he'd ever attempted was 22. My concern is that this team was number one in pace, and I hate that word.
And they were also last in defense.
They weren't last in defense, but they were near the bottom.
They were
in
last in points allowed.
Was it in points allowed?
In points allowed.
And in defense percentage, they were what, like 27th?
All you want, but if you can't stop anybody, you're screwed.
What happened last year is that DeMarcus Cousins had an absolute career year, and the Kings won more games last year than they've won in a while. And I'm really worried that there's going to be an adjustment period because you could not have more polar opposites in philosophy, culture, style, and attitude than George Karl to Dave Yeager. And so we're asking a team that pretty much flipped over half its roster again. We're asking a team that is probably going to get next to nothing out of the 3 rookies it's carrying on its roster this season. We don't know what kind of a leap, if any, Willie Cauley-Stein is going to make. Their starting guard is out for 8 games.
We don't even know how he's going to be used.
At all. We don't, because I don't think we saw Willie Cauley-Stein doesn't think we saw the real Willie Cauley-Stein last year. He was vocal about that. So I'm really, really tempering the expectations. And to your point, Katie, this is not a fun start for the team when you go road Phoenix, home Spurs, home Minnesota. Again, Minnesota was worse last year and beat the holy hell out of this team, and then you go on the road for 5. It may be a very, very rough start for this team, and Patrick had he referenced the show on his Facebook thread yesterday, and we had a conversation. It's not trying to be Debbie Downer. Hell, I'd love this team to start 10-0. I'd like for them personally to go 82-0, Nate, and I'm not joking.
I think we're both trying to save ourselves some misery later on. I mean, it would be easy to sit here and say, hey, you know, this could be the year, guys. Let's be positive. I mean, there's plenty of things to list. We love Dave Yeager. They've got arguably the best center in the league. Things are not that bad. They got a brand new building. But they also, if they eat crap to start the season, then I'm going to cry if I have high expectations.
Right. From the text line, over, under 40 wins, which do you take? I'm firmly in the under, Katie.
Yeah,
Kings.
I think it's probably I think it's probably safe to take the under.
Well, and here's the other part about it.
I'll be happy if I'm wrong.
Expectations. Do you remember how cool it was in 98 when we didn't think they were going to be worth a damn? And then they just started winning games.
Yes.
And then they kind of kept winning. And you spend that whole season going, okay, when's the other shoe going to drop here? These guys aren't that good. But guess what? They were. And it was so, like, that's the funnest thing to go through as a fan is when your team first gets it again. For like that first iteration, and if you're expecting that,
probably like Portland fans last year after they lost four of their starters and they didn't have high expectations and they freaking made the playoffs.
And isn't it kind of sad?
That's a nice place to be in.
Kind of had a nice little stew going, and they had a whole bunch of salary cap space and they spent it on Evan Turner and Allen Crabbe.
Oh, hi, Steve. You're on the drive.
How's it going, Dave? Hey, I just want to say, Dave, hey, I totally agree with your philosophy. You're going from basically like running in football, the run and shoot, to running an I formation. it's crazy, you know, because Carl was all offense, no defense, running gun, and now you're going to Jaeger, who preaches defense number one, then offense. So,
well, and there's going to be structure on both sides of the ball, which didn't happen on either side of the ball last year.
Right, so it's going to take a lot to learn it. Like you said, you're going to probably see him struggle to get out of the gate, but hopefully, you know, halfway through the season they pick it up, and that's where you're going to see where this team progresses.
I completely agree. That's what I hope. Yeah. I hope that at some point this season you start to see some clicks and you start to see the body blows that they've been throwing out during the year that you don't notice take off and really come together for some momentum at the end of the year.
That, I mean, that would kind of be my counter to what you're saying, because although I believe you're right, number one, I mean, how much worse could they get?
Yeah.
I mean, even if they won more games last year. But the other, this is a group, even though they turned over a lot of the roster with the core, they've never really had an identity that worked in any way. Like, yeah, they scored a bunch of points last year, but what identity is this team? What really plays to DeMarcus's strengths as a style? Well, maybe it is what Dave Jaeger wants from them. We don't know that.
Yesterday at practice, the media asked Ty Lawson, what is this team's identity? And without a doubt, like, no hesitation, he's like, defense. It is our identity. Here's the thing I know about defense. We saw it with Mike Malone too. It takes a while for a defensive identity to really be put into place. I think that's why Dave Jaeger is saying, hey, next year, it's going to take a while, a year and a half for us to really get this down. I want to see them make progress, because the one thing you need is practice to become better and solid as a defensive team. First few months of the season, you're going to have more practice than you normally have. Then it's going to temper down. So that's what I want to see. In the first few months, do they continue to get better at defense?
Mike Florio joins us next, Pro Football Talk. Dean and JRC on the line. If you want to hold, we'll get to you at top of the hour. It's the Drive Sports 1140 KHDK.